Praise God. We are welcome in Jesus' name. I pray that the Lord who has brought us here tonight, He will be glorified in us in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Tonight, we will go very quickly to what the Lord has been doing with us in the equipping service. Tonight we are going to be looking at developing intimacy with God, part two. Developing intimacy with God. Developing intimacy with God. And this evening, we'll be looking at something very vital. Last week, we considered the word living. That you cannot develop intimacy with God until you are willing to live something behind that may want to stand between you and your intimacy together with God. And this evening, we'll look at another important factor that is required, important demand in developing our intimacy with God. As we go to the book of Genesis chapter 2, I want us to open our Bible there. Genesis chapter 2. And verse 24. Genesis chapter 2 verse 24. Are you there? Therefore, a man will leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The word cleave is what we are looking at this evening. The word cleave, that's what we are looking at. You cannot develop intimacy with God if you are not ready to cleave to God. If you are not ready to cleave to God. And when you are looking at the word cleaving, a translation talks about being joined together. Being joined together. So when you say cleave, you say join. There's a translation that talks about cling. But it has to do with attachment. So it has to do with attachment. Cleaving is a word that has to do with attachment. So when you are talking about developing intimacy with God, what we look at as a very close friendship, you cannot achieve that if there is no attachment, if we are not joined together with God. In other words, we can't develop intimacy with God that we are separated from. It's not possible. There must be a cleaving. As a matter of fact, what we learned last week, the purpose for leaving something behind is to cleave to God, is to cleave, is to attach yourself, is to join yourself together. That is why living has to precede cleaving. You cannot cleave until you have left. Are we understanding what I'm sharing with us? So, but this aspect of cleaving is so important that when you leave, whatever you have left the world, you have left anything that is standing between you and developing that intimacy with God, you cannot just leave, you have to cleave. You have to cleave. And when you are looking at what we are taking from, it has to do with marriage. Now, when you look at marriage, personally, I don't believe in a long-distance marriage. I don't believe there is marriage when the husband is living in Nigeria and the wife is living in UK. I don't believe, because I believe that marriage has to do with attachment. You come together. You join yourself together. That is the reason the man has to leave his family and then cleave. So God is intentional about our relationship with him, which requires cleaving. And now we want to look deeper into that. Why is cleaving so important into developing intimacy? For God, I want you to take note of this. It is the way, it is how God separates us from mouth professing Christians to heart possessing Christians. Cleaving together with God, joining ourselves with God, that is the way God separates us from Christians who are just mouth professing. How many of us know that there are many Christians who are mouth professing? They are only Christians by mouth. I love God. I can do all things for God. I am committed to God. I was born in a Christian family. I have been in church all my life. I can do anything for God. You know, there was a time we did a series here about Peter, who was making so much of a mouth for Jesus when he said, I'm even ready to die with you. But at the point when they were asking him, do you know this man? He began to deny. He denied first time. He denied second time. He denied third time. He said, I don't even know him. I don't even know what you are talking about. So there comes a time that God always wants to make us to know the difference between mouth professing and heart possessing. I want us to understand that it goes a long way. The Christianity of our time has been reduced to mouth professing Christianity. I was discussing with somebody today, a dear sister, and I was saying to her, I said, the pain in my heart about the Christianity I'm seeing today that makes me to weep, you know, and be so burdened is how people talk about God, and yet in the practicality of it, there is no sign with what they talk about concerning God.
people can preach about love, yet when it comes to time to love, you can't find love in them. People can preach about forgiveness. They can even tell you, they can quote the scriptures that talk to us about how to forgive. But when it comes to putting it into practice, the only place it stays is in the mouth. You don't see it in the life. I don't know if you are seeing such around you from time to time. That is the kind of Christianity that we have all around us. Mouth professing Christianity that is far from heart possessing Christianity. But the Lord is saying, no, we cannot be such Christians. And if you are not going to be such Christians in such a time in the last days like this, you must have what is called intimacy that has been achieved by cleaving together with God. You must be attached to God. You cannot have heart possessing Christianity except you are attached to God. A mouth possessing Christianity, professing Christianity cannot accomplish that. So I see cleaving as the way that God wants to make oneness to be possible. If you check that scripture where we read in Genesis 2:24, living, cleaving, and then one flesh. So between husband and wife, a moment you say I do on the altar, and the woman say I do to the man say I do to the woman, God has already seen them as one. But the process of becoming one in reality has just begun. And that is ensuring that they have left things they ought to leave. That we harm and tamper with their intimacy. And then secondly, they have to cleave. They have to be so attached together to one another, stick to one another. And that is when you begin to see them. This one has come from a background that they behave in a way. The man has come from another background. They behave in different way. If they are going to harmonize, that they are going to be able to understand one another, be able to flow and enjoy that marriage, and that marriage will not be hell on the earth, or they will just be coping. If they will not cope, they have to come to cleaving. It is cleaving that makes oneness to be possible. It is attachment, the bonding, that leads a couple to becoming one. Now, what are you talking about concerning one? That means they have one mind. They have one spirit. They agree together. This one is not going in this direction while the other is going in another. And they are also one locationally. Where you see one is the other place they communicate as one. It is called cleaving. So you cannot accomplish intimacy with God. It will be so boring to relate with God. There will always be a distance. You can't understand God. God can't understand you. You can't be one with God until there is a cleaving. Somebody say cleaving. Yeah. So it is quite important that you understand before I quickly move away from that, that God does not want us to be mouth professing Christians. He wants us to be heart possessing Christians. He wants us to have one heart, heart that is knitted. You will always hear Jesus saying, I and my Father, we are one. I and my Father, we are one. So when you see husband and wife, they are expected to be one. Now, Jesus and the church have come together to be one. And the oneness is made possible by what? By what? By cleaving. Let me quickly tell you the signs of mouth-professing Christians. Anytime you see believers, Christians, who only relate with God by mouth, they have not developed intimacy. And it is difficult because they don't want to cleave. They believe they can relate with God without cleaving. That's why they remain mouth professing Christians. There are signs you will see. Number one, they are Christians that are lukewarm. They are Christians that are very lukewarm. The passion for God is not seen in their lives. You don't see God rubbing on them. You don't see the life of God in them. They are so lukewarm. They will not be cold. They will not be hot. They will be lukewarm. They are mouth professing Christians. There is no cleaving together with God. No cleaving. So you see lukewarmness. So if you are a believer who struggles with lukewarmness, you are hot today, you are cold tomorrow, and then you become warm. You are neither cold, you are neither hot. You are lukewarm. That tells you that you are a mouth-professing Christian. Number two, they practice adulterated Christianity. This kind of mouth-professing Christians, Christians that have not cleaved to God, they practice adulterated Christianity. You will see it in them and say, this one is another. They don't practice a genuine Christian life because they are neither here nor there. You cannot be a Christian who is neither here nor there. You want to stay with the world today. You want to stay with God tomorrow. You become a believer that is practicing adulterated Christianity. I'm praying that God is going to deliver us from these things. Number three sign of a mouth professing Christian that you are going to see them is that they practice false success Christianity. False success. They are Christians who just believe that when they have cars, they build houses. When they have degrees, they have good job, that is what it takes to be close to God. Have you seen people that the only thing they are pursuing is that they have good cars, good houses, good job, and they believe that when you are talking to them, that they need to get close to God? They tell you, if I have all of those things, are you telling me that I'm not in intimacy with God? But do you believe that you can have all of that and don't have intimacy with God? That's why those things don't satisfy people. It is called false success. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, Joshua 1:8, God was speaking to Joshua, that if this book of the law does not depart from your mouth, if you meditate in it day and night, and you observe to do according to all that is written therein, you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. So there is a good success, there is a false success. A good success is a success when you are having close intimacy, close relationship with God. That's a good success. It doesn't matter what anybody has. If you are not intimate with God, you are not successful. Are you getting what I'm sharing with you? So God does not want us to practice, to pursue such things in our time. Some people, you know, have you heard some people, they tell you, especially in developed nations, they tell you they don't have anything to pray about. They don't have anything to pray about. And that is why some people, some believers, leave the third world and they get over there and you realize that when you see them, you can never know they have ever been Christians before. And these were people who may be pastors in Nigeria. These may be people who may be deacons and deaconesses in Nigeria. These may be people who are fervent in Nigeria. But when they get there, you realize that they lose this faith. When they become very comfortable and then running around with their job and all that, you see that you cannot see the life of God in them anymore. The reason is very simple. When they were around here, they were practicing false success Christianity. They were believers who seek God for what to eat. they were believers who seek God for what to get. So when you are a kind of a person that the reason you are pursuing God is for what he will give to you, you are practicing false success Christianity. I don't know whether you understand what I'm sharing with you. It is quite important. And I'm bringing you to a dimension. Don't let your relationship with God be based on what he will do for you. Do you hear that?
Yeah.
This may be quite unpopular that we are not hearing in places. For instance, why have you come here today? Why do you go to church? Why do you go to pray? Why do you seek the Lord? Why do you fast? Why do you study the word? So you realize that when it comes to developing our relationship with God, we cannot even cope. You find the Bible study for yourself very boring. You cannot study Bible. I was somewhere today and somebody was talking, somebody also close to us was talking to another person that she was going to a church that today is manna water service. And, you know, the person who's supposed to be here was now asking the person and said, how can I get the manna water? Can they distribute if I'm not there? Or must I come there to get the manna water? So you realize that for somebody like that, sitting down, hearing the word of God, that will draw you close to God, will be boring. Because all you are looking for is manna water. The Christianity of our time now has become a getting Christianity. Because, and what do you want to get? You want to get so that you can have. So that you can show I'm successful. But do you know that is a sign that you are a mouth professing Christian? Don't practice such Christianity. Your coming to church must be because you really want to know the Lord. That's why people shop churches. That's why people shop. They have turned churches to supermarket. How many of us know that many people don't have their own local assembly? When they leave the church, they turn up to one Facebook where one prophet is speaking somewhere. When they finish with that prophet, they scroll Facebook, they scroll social media, checking out somebody who's going to tell me prophecy. Somebody, we have seen, a pastor was sharing with me how about two pastors who are his friends were duping people. They decided that they were going to go to the social media to tell people prophecy. And they went there collecting money from people. And one of these, his pastor friend, collected money saying the same thing to two different people, collect, and these people came together and they discovered the false prophet. But my own issue is that, is it the fault of the false prophet? No, it's the fault of the people who are looking for what to get. Can I say this to you? When you are in intimacy together with God, all that you want to get are available. But Satan will present to you a transactional relationship. That God, serving the Lord, being born again, knowing God is just about what to get. So when you pray, you don't see yourself praying prayers beyond, Lord, give me. The only time you can pray is when you are desperately in need or when the enemies are attacking you. But when you need to spend time and say, Lord, I just love you. I just want to spend time in your presence. I just want to know you. You can't do that. I know what I'm teaching you is not what is it's not what we want to hear, but it is what we must hear. So the Lord is looking for believers today. See, as we are trying and believing the Lord and saying, Lord, I just want to cleave to you. When you cleave, I will end up with that today if the Lord helps me. You will see it. When you cleave to the Lord, there is a great blessing, a great power that flows to those who cleave to the Lord. That those who want to shop God, S-H-O-P, shop him as a supermarket, can never get. We are praying for a revival of shoppers. May that revival stop those who are shopping God.
in the name of Jesus.
False success Christianity is a kind of Christianity that, you know, a church, is a Laodicean church that Jesus was referring to, that they said, we have need of nothing. They thought they had it all. And they said they had need of nothing. I didn't want to be opening scripture so that, because where I'm going is very far. But I'd like us to go to Revelation chapter 3. It's quite important. So that you can see to yourself. Jesus was addressing the church. It's to a church. Revelation chapter 3 from verse 14. He said, to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says these things. These were things coming from Jesus. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. Can you cleave to God and not be hot? Look at when Moses came down from mountain, spending 40 days and 40 nights. The children of Israel could not look at his face. Why? Because God had rubbed off on him. When you are developing intimacy with God, the signs of God will be on your life. Look at Jesus when he took the three to the mountain of transfiguration. As he began to spend time, as he was praying, the Bible says his face altered, his garment changed, became so raiment, dazzling. So that was a kind of experience that could happen to anyone developing intimacy with God. So when you are lukewarm, when you are a lukewarm Christian, it's a very undeniable sign that you are not close to God. So Jesus was saying it to them here. He said, for you say, verse 17, are you there? I am rich and have stored up goods. Maybe you have so much money in your bank account and have need of nothing. He said, yet you do not realize that you are wretched. So somebody can have everything and still be wretched in the sight of God. What many of us are craving to have. What many of us are praying and saying, Lord, build me a house in Abuja. Build me a mansion here. Build me. Just give me one small Toyota car. Don't even give me a Jeep. Just give me something. And God is saying, those who have all of these things, and they thought they have need of nothing. I hope you know there are people in this city who have need of nothing. I hope you know. They have need of nothing. I hope you know there are places in this city they don't suffer light outage. They have need of, if they need anything now, it is supplied. And God, Jesus is saying, they are wretched. Are you seeing it? So you are a rich person when you have a very close relationship with God. You are so richer than those who have all things to themselves in this world. Are you seeing together with me? Are you there? He said, and I've had need of nothing. He said, yet you do not realize that you are wretched. What follows wretchedness? You are miserable. You are poor. You are blind. You are naked. Let's move. Mouth professing Christians, they are fear weather Christians. They are Christians that flow with God by emotion. When it is convenient, they go together with God. When it is not convenient, they don't go with, together with God. When it is convenient, sometimes some forsake God because all they have looked to God for is that thing which God has given. Some people have trusted God for jobs. The job came. It is through that job they have lost contact with God. Some people have trusted God for marriage. Before, when they were single and they were waiting, you see them 24/7, they are in the church. They are praying. You say, what a wonderful sister. She loves the Lord. She's only waiting for that marriage, that man to come. A moment that man comes, it is that marriage that God has given that will separate them from the Lord. So they are called fair weather. Because all they are looking for is what to get. That is why they are seeking the Lord. And another mouth-professing Christians are called feeling-driven Christians. They are driven by their feelings. They are driven by their feelings. These are signs, among others, for you to know that these people are not at possessing. At possessing. So what is intimacy? Intimacy is at possessing relationship. Intimacy is not mouth possessing, professing. Intimacy is a relationship that has captured your heart. Intimacy is a relationship that your heart has tied your heart, has laid hold on your heart. And that heart possessing means cleaving. When you cleave to somebody, in fact, when you cleave to somebody physically, it is because your heart has been possessed by that person. Do you understand that? I can hear us. A few days back, I saw in a newspaper in the East how a particular woman of one of an honorable said she was ready to dissolve a 3-year-old marriage. 3-year-old marriage. She stood before the court. The court dissolved this marriage. And when she was, one of the things her lawyer was saying is that for 2 years of that marriage, it has been hell living with the man. So the man could not be a friend. That was the word. It is not friendly. That is the word they use. It is not friendly to live with that man. So for all the 3 years of their marriage, there was no marriage because there was no heart possession. There was no cleaving. They were staying together, yet they were not cleaved to one another. So you cannot develop intimacy with God if God will not possess your heart. If you will not cleave together with God. If you will not cleave together with God. So what does it mean to cleave? What does it mean to cleave? I want us to look at 3 important things very quickly. Number 1, it means to chase after. That is what it means to cleave, to follow close, to chase after. You know, in Songs of Solomon that I mentioned to us about 2 weeks ago, chapter 1 and verse 4, when he says, draw me and I will run after you. Draw me and I will run after you. He said, the king has brought me to his chambers. Draw me and I will run after you. So cleaving to God is running after God. David said, as the deer panted after the water, so my heart, he said, longed after thee. So to long is to, like, you just want to catch up. You are pursuing is to catch by pursuit. And let me say this very important to us. You cannot develop intimacy with God until you become somebody that is chasing after God. There will be a time God will chase after you. there will be a time that God is going to pursue you. But if you are going to come into a dimension of a closeness with God, you must now become somebody that is chasing after God. Your heart must be saying, Lord, wherever you are, just like, you know, wherever water is, a deer is panting. A deer is running. So there is a need that you chase after God. I was in school. I was an undergraduate. I said it to you before. It put me in trouble in the house, not in the campus fellowship. What happened? I just heard that Daddy Kumuyi came to town in Ibadan to come and conduct a minister's conference. And I left the school in the morning, during the week. I went there. That very day, I had an encounter with God in such a way that I have not recovered from it. But the moment I came back, one of the alumni members who happened to be a senior alumni that they have put there to be watching after us, called me and began to scold me. That was one of the reasons I entered into trouble during my time. And said, what example are you going to set? Is God as difficult as that? That you are looking, that you are leaving, you have to go. I'm not saying students should leave their studies and go. But I'm telling you a drive that was in me in chasing after God. There were other students in the same school that will be going to go and look for shows. They will leave the class. They will go and they will not say because they just have to remain in campus when there are shows, they will not go. So, but for me, my heart is chasing after God because it is what you want to cleave to that you chase after. If you don't chase God, you cannot develop intimacy with God. If you are a kind of a person who need to wait, that somebody have to tell you, can we go to church? Have you studied your Bible? Have you had fellowship with God today? No, you have not started to develop intimacy with God. It must be something in you that is saying, Lord, I am chasing after you. I want to get God. I want to lay hold on God. I pray that that spirit rest upon us. I want to lay hold. Lord, where can I catch up with you? You chase after God. You chase after God. In the book of Judges chapter 8 and verse 4, a man called Gideon was chasing after some enemies. The Bible says he was pursuing them. As he was pursuing these people, he was fainting. In other words, he was getting tired. Yet, he pursued until he caught them. So anybody who is going to develop intimacy together with God, you must pursue God. That even when you are fainting, when you are tired, you say, I have to get God. I'm just looking for God. I have to get God. So cleaving means you chase after. What does cleaving mean? I can't hear you. So you must be a believer who deliberately run after God. You deliberately run after God. If you are waiting for God to run after you, you are not interested in developing intimacy together with him. You run after him. When it is convenient, when it is not convenient, you run after him. Do you know when Jesus was talking to the disciples? He said, follow me and I will make you. Now, if somebody say you should follow, I have told you here before, he didn't say go ahead of me as I drill you. You know, I drill you like the control cow. So, you know, the cow will be going and then you say you are coming. If the cow is going in this direction, by the time the cow receive, you know, cane different times, you say go in this direction. But Jesus said, you follow me. Now, what that tells you is that the responsibility to lead you is his responsibility. But the responsibility to follow is your responsibility. So when somebody is saying, follow me, he knows you can decide to turn back. You can decide to go in your direction. So Jesus said, chase after me, pursue me. That is how I can make you. So those who will not chase after God cannot cleave together with God. Number two, cleaving means being joined together. Being joined together. That is what cleave. Probably, is it a boat we call it now? To put it, if it is not its own, no matter how you try to do it, it can enter, but it will not enter perfectly. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. So cleaving to God means you fit together. What does that mean? You align together with Him. Everything about you must align. Your thought must align with His thought. Like Isaiah chapter 55. What you are looking for must align with what He's looking for. He must not be seeking something and you are seeking another. You are not joined together. To be joined together means you have the same interest. You have the same passion. So when you are a person who wants to develop intimacy with God, what God loves must be what you love, Timmy. You cannot fit together if God loves something and you love another thing. If God says, the love of money is the root of all evil, and you say, I must make money, I love money. Now, you can't join together with God. So, being joined together means you fit together. You align. You must align yourself with His will. That is what happens in Romans chapter 12. Do you remember? That He said, we should offer our body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And in verse 2, He said, don't be conformed to this world. So conforming to the world disqualifies you from being joined together with God. I don't know whether you understand that. So everything you seek, if you want to be somebody who will cleave to God, you must seek God's interest. You must find out what's the will of God for marriage. What's the will of God for the work I am doing? Many people don't care to understand the will of God in the matter of their lives. If you want to do anything and you want to be joined together with God in that thing, you must find out the will of God in that thing. Are you please understanding what I'm saying? Some people are regretting their marriage today because before they got married, they did not ask, what's the will of God for this? So when you understand the will of God and you align yourself with that will, that is cleaving. Do you understand that? Number three, as I begin to round off. Number three thing about cleaving means holding fast. What does it mean? What does it mean? Holding fast. That's what it means. Holding fast. Holding fast. Holding fast. Now I want you to see the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. He said, let us draw near with a true heart. Draw near. You are to draw near. The Bible always talk about you draw near to God and He will draw near to you. You are to take the step. You are to chase after Him. You are to pursue Him. He said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse them from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Are you there? Hebrews chapter 10. Now let's look at verse 23. Let us do what? I want you to read your translation now. Let us do what? Let us hold fast. What should we hold fast there? Let us hold fast. In other words, don't let us be mouth professing Christians. My translation here says, let us firmly hold the profession of our faith without wavering. Do you know what that means? Let me tell you. Now, holding fast for cleaving can perfectly be described from the welding point. When you see a welder and you ask a welder, where is this iron and this iron, where are they holding themselves fast? What will the welder tell you? He will tell you it is at the joint where they were welded. You are not getting it. When a welder needs to cause two irons to hold together, where will that welder concentrate the joining? At the joint. He will put so much effort. He will ensure that no matter how you shake that thing, pour so much fire, put so much whatsoever that we cause the joint to be very what? Firm. So where does that concern cleaving? There is a connecting point with Jesus. There are things that connect you with God together. That is the welding point. You must invest so much in what connects you together with God that nothing can make it to separate. Please, do you understand what I've shared with you? I'm not sure. Because you know something? Many of us, we don't have... I realize that for every relationship, there is a welding point. If a relationship is going to break down, it's going to break down at the joint. What connects you? So, our relationship with God, there is a welding point. Focus on that. Strengthen it. And when you talk about your welding point, you talk about your faith. You talk about your life of study. Your commitment to studying the word. Eating the word. Your life of fellowship. There are welding points you must not take for granted. When you don't hold your welding point fast, you will leave that relationship to separate. So cleaving means, what does it mean? You hold fast. You hold what? Somebody said something to me yesterday or a few days ago. He said, sir, you told me a principle that has helped your life in your journey with God. You said that I should check that which that I am doing that is making God to be so glad with my life. And I should do more of it. And she said to me, she said, sir, as I did more of that, each time I remember your word, that what are the things that I'm committed to that is making me to be in alignment together with God, that is making God to be so glad that I'm in a relationship with him. I want to check from time to time that I'm committed to them. And she said, the more I'm committed to those things, the more I see the goodness of God keep flowing. You hold fast. Your welding point. You hold fast. Thank you, Father. That's how to accomplish your cleaving together with God. Now, let me share this because I want to ensure we close with this in this cleaving this week. Your cleaving will be tested. Each time you want to cleave to God, Satan is out to test it. Anytime you want to say, Lord, I am together with you. nothing is going to separate us. Satan is going to say, we will test it. And let me tell you, an untested cleaving is not genuine before God. If your cleaving, your determination, your resolve to cleave to God, if it will not be tested by circumstance of life, sometimes it may come where you are not expecting it from. It may come from your work. It may come from your family. It may come from different circumstances that the enemy will bring against you. What he wants to test is whether you have indeed cleaved unto God or not. It can come and test your welding point, how strong it is. It can come and test your determination to chase after God by giving you juices to attract you. And say, can I just throw this to you? You know, that was what he came to do with Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. He was telling him, if you can see, if you bow before me, I will give you all this world. He was trying to call the attention of Jesus to stop chasing after God and start chasing after the things of the world. The cleaving of Jesus was tested. Yours will also be tested. Mine will be tested. It has been tested times without number. Return each to our mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with your deceased husbands and with me. May the Lord grant that you each find rest in the house of another husband. Then she kissed them and they raised their voices and wept aloud. They said to her, husband tonight and give birth to sons, will you wait until they were grown? Please, are you there? Will you refrain from getting married? No, my daughters. It is much bitter for me than for you. For the hand of the Lord has turned against me. Then they raised their voices and wept aloud. And once more, Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth, what happened? When people cleave to you, when they stay with you, those who stay with you, the only way you can know those who have really genuinely cleaved to you are those that they have seen negative things ahead, but yet they stay. That you cannot be convinced by negative things. If you look at that other upper, all that the woman had said is that, I'm not promising you. If you follow, see, there is no hope for you. And the Bible says, the lady just kissed and said, with all this, ma, you have convinced us enough to go back. But Ruth, the Bible says, she cleaved to her. And when the Lord was bringing me to this, the Lord said to me, the reason Ruth got a future she never qualified for is because Ruth had a conviction to cleave. So number one thing that will be tested is your what? I can't hear you. A lot of things will discourage you from turning to the Lord, from cleaving to the Lord, from following the Lord. It is to test your conviction. When they look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what did they say to them? They said they should roast the fire. How many times? In 7 times. Now, they said, King, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Our God is able to save us. But even if he will not, they were so convinced about God that nothing will turn them back. May you have such conviction. Number 2 is commitment. When you read the same book of Ruth, chapter 1, and you read down commitment, commitment, commitment. In verse 15, Ruth chapter 1, Naomi said, look, your daughter, your sister-in-law has returned to her people and her gods. Return with her. But Ruth was not going to allow the choice of another person to determine our choice. When it comes to your cleaving to God, the choice of that statement. Apostle Paul said, nothing will separate me from the love of God. He said, not what is happening now or what is in the future. You must be a Christian that before anything will happen in the future, you are already saying, Lord, no matter what we have. Number three, how many things have I shared with you? Number one, what is it? Conviction. And see, we lack people with conviction in our generation today. People enter marriage without conviction. That's why they can hope for divorce at any time. People start things, they don't have conviction. And number two, we lack people with commitment. That's why you see relationships breaking. You can't have people that you can trust for God and say, ah, brother, my brother will stay with me. If you think your brother will stay with you, you can really find, because we are in a time that people lack commitment. But the third thing is continuance. What do I call it? Continuance. You must have a conviction to develop intimacy with God. You must have a commitment and you must have continuance. You can't be committed when you are going back. So there must be continuance. You must keep following. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. That's commitment. To follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Not turning back. That's continuance. No matter what happens, I continue. No matter what happens, I continue. You can't continue without conviction. You can't continue without commitment. But when you have conviction and you have commitment to stand and stick with God, you must continue. The Bible says, he that lays his hand on the plow and look back, what happened to that person is not worthy, it's not fit. So when you are convinced, when you are committed to stay with Jesus, continue. 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 Pray for grace to continue every day. Pray for grace to when you wake up and today has ended, you need a new grace to continue tomorrow. There are challenges that will arise to turn you back. Say, no, I must continue. I must continue. Conviction, commitment, and continuance. That is what defines your cleaving. When God sees these three things, he will show up. That was what happened to the three Hebrew boys. Conviction. Commitment. Oh king, we are not careful. If our God is our God, he's able to deliver. But even if he will not, even if he will not give me that job, even if he will not answer my prayer, I know God must have been dealing with us in our various centers, in our own center in Sunday, the Lord was dealing with us about the Daniels, about these three Hebrew boys. That what of if when you pray and God refused to answer that prayer, will you continue? Will you increase in passion? Will you love him more? Or are you following him just because he answered those prayers? So the three Hebrew men, they were not men tied to God because God will answer. They know he will answer. But what of if he decide not to answer? We stay with God. We have conviction. My suffering does not change God's faithfulness. Please take note. Whatever that happens to me, people may look and say, no, oh, something, see. And he says he has God. No, he doesn't. Sometimes God allows certain things to happen to us for our conviction, our commitment, our continuance to be tested. May you not fail in these three areas. We will not fail in these three areas. We will not fail in these three areas. Please, I believe at this very time, you have been able to receive something. But let's close with this last scripture. Joshua chapter 23. What is the power that is in cleaving in intimacy? What is the power? Joshua chapter 23. I want to read that quickly and you rise up within maybe 5 minutes. We just cry to God. Joshua chapter 23, very important. Joshua was already old. He was about to die. He has served the Lord all through his time. Joshua had cleaved to the Lord. Is there hope when we cleave? Do we waste our time when we cleave? Will God be unfaithful when we cleave? Can you cleave to God when it is not convenient? And it got to a time God will say, I will abandon you. Does God abandon those who cleave to him? Does God abandon those who stay with him? And don't deny him when others are turning back. That's not my God. Joshua chapter 23. Please take note. A long time later, after the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around, then Joshua was old and advanced in years. Please take note, because I may not be able to explain much here. Joshua called for all Israel, their elders, clan heads, judges and officials, and said to them, I am old and advanced in years. You have seen all that the Lord your God did to all these people before you. For it is the Lord your God, please take note, who has waged war for you. Can I tell you this very quickly as I'm rounding up there? When you cleave to God, your battle becomes God's battle. When you cleave to God, you just become somebody who hides under him. God becomes your representative. God says, whatever is about you, I step out. Some of us should remember the 2 weeks ago we talked about Moses. God was defending. You want to, other people are struggling. God is saying, I will bring things to you freely that other people are laboring for. You will enter into the land you did not labor for. God was doing the fight for them. That's why in Matthew 6:33 it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteous, and all they will be added. Cleaving for intimacy gives you power to enjoy grace. You don't struggle. You don't labor. I have told people, I am a living witness of how God can take care of those who follow him. Who follow him? I think I was saying to you some time ago, man. That, see, I can't wake up tomorrow now and say, this is where money is coming from. This is the salary that is coming. This is what the family will eat. This is how I'm going to pay the school fees of my children. And you know why it was never going to be a matter? It is because the only thing that matters to me is my intimacy. The only thing that matters to him is my welfare. When God matters to you above all things, you become who matters to God above other things. The Lord your God has fought for you. For Joshua, it wasn't him doing the fighting. He was only receiving strategy. Go like this. Do it like this. Go like this. God was there. When you cleave together with God, you escape a life of struggle. You escape a life of slavery. You don't run here and there. God does the running for you. He was the one who told Elijah, now the river is dry. Go to one widow. Widow Zarephath, go there. I have provided a widow to sustain you. Oh my God. God was so mindful of a life. Why did you think David was saying that Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Why are we bothered today about how to succeed? About how to make progress. Where are we? Is it in verse 6? Eh? Are you sure? Verse 4. He says, see, I have allotted to you as an inheritance the land of these people who remain, along with the land of the peoples whom I did what? I defeated. For those who cleave to God, they enjoy inheritance. From the Jordan to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, the Lord your God will drive them out. Are you going to be the one to drive them out? Who will drive them out? The one you have cleaved to. What will he do? And dispossess them from before you. And what will happen to you? and you will inherit their land. Can you imagine? As the Lord your God told you. Now verse 6. Now be very strong to observe and enact all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, so that you do not deviate from me to the right or to the left. Joshua was saying that is your welding point. Do you remember welding point? He's telling them, hold fast. That is where to hold. Are you together there? Verse 7. Do not assimilate with these peoples remaining among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods, nor swear by, serve, or worship them. Verse 8, that is where I'm going, and verse 9. Instead, what is your Bible saying? You are not there. You are looking at me. Instead, cleave, is it in your Bible? To the Lord your God, as you have done until when? Until today. For the Lord has dispossessed before you great and mighty peoples. And as for you, a single man has been able to stand against you until today. One from among you, oh my God. Are you seeing it from verse 10? What will happen? Can make 1,000 to do what? For it is the Lord your God who does what? Who wages war for who? As he does what? Verse 11, now what happened? Now be careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. Verse 12, for if you should turn and do what? And cleave to the remainder of these people who are left with you, and you intermarry, do you see it? And assimilate with them, and they with you. Know for certain what will happen in verse 13. The Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations. He will no longer help you. He will no longer stand there. He will no longer do what you cannot do. Please rise to your feet. Cry for intimacy. Cry to cleave to God. That is your own cry. That's your own responsibility. Cry to cleave. 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 The only thing God is looking for is your cleaving. He's not looking for your power. He's not looking for your strength. He's not looking for your energy. He's looking for your cleaving. Please pray. Lord, I receive grace to cleave to you. Kabalabara The Lord has told us a lot of things tonight. What matters is cleaving. What devil is fighting is your cleaving. Can we pray? Oh, let's pray, let's pray, let's pray, let's pray. There you turn back. Oh, it will become a life of struggle. It will become a life where the enemies begin to defeat. Lord, help me to cleave to you at all times. Pray with all your heart.
Long preserved for our world.